Big show for you here today. We are live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. I've got a great set of co-hosts today. We've got Justin Boone, fresh off vacation. We've got Jory Epstein here to give us all the information we need to know. Rumors, who's on the trade block, who's going this way, who's going that way. Tons of great information on upcoming free agents and what we're hearing here at the NFL Scouting Combine. All that and more coming up on today's show. Let's get into it. What's going on, everybody? I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, and it is a hell of a day to talk ball. And joining me to do just that is a very fascinating duo here. We've got senior NFL reporter here at Yahoo, Jory Epstein, and joining me back from vacation, back to finally ready to get back to work, it is our guy, Justin Boone. Boone, what's going on, buddy?
I'm doing well. I got a couple weeks off. I got recharged. Shout out to my wife, Jackie. We celebrated our 11th wedding anniversary.
Heck yeah. Oh, let's go. Yeah,
I may or may not have taken her to see the Backstreet Boys at the Sphere.
Oh, so love.
Yeah. So I bit that bullet, but feeling good and ready to get back at it here.
Jory, what's going on?
You know, we're here, as we discussed last night, a bit of a circuitous route to get here. There's a blizzard back where I live, 15 inches of snow, but we made it. We flew to Chicago, drove here, and we are in Indianapolis.
Thank you for saying that, because if I was a better podcast host, I would have mentioned we are live right now on the ground here in Indianapolis for the NFL Scouting Combine. I'm watching Titans head coach Robert Saleh just walk right over there. Pretty electric stuff. You got to love to be here. And we're going to have a great show today. Number one, because we're going to be previewing free agency. We're going to be talking through rumors and whispers. And that's why we've got Jory here on the show. And speaking of that, the second reason I'm excited about this show is I told you guys this yesterday. I love a random pairing podcast. And I find Boone and Jory to be a little bit of a random pair. So I'm very excited to see what this show becomes. But let's get down to business here. Let's talk quarterbacks here in the first segment that, one, are available in free agency, and two, we maybe could be expecting to see them on the move. And let's start with somehow the crowning jewel of free agency, which is Malik Willis. Jory, what are you hearing right now about Malik Willis, who strangely has been, like I said, kind of the talk of the town here?
Yeah, absolutely. And he's been the talk of the town since, I don't know, November, December, after that Baltimore game, when both through the air and on the ground, he was really effective. And I get that they didn't win that game, but teams were like, oh, he can be that effective. And this is a year where I keep hearing it. This is the buzz at Senior Bowl as well, that the quarterback demand far outweighs its supply. There are a lot of teams that don't have a clear answer and need to figure that out. And so when you look at Malik Willis, what's interesting to me is, what is Malik Willis going to prioritize? Because I was talking to an executive here who said, if he was Malik, like, look, Malik already knows what it's like to be with a team and not have that success. He also knows what it's like to be in a system that does work for him. So does he want to go a route where it's like a Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, that he is going to a team that fits him well, that is ready to win? Or Justin Fields, who, hey, Justin Fields got paid very well last year, also shares an agent with Malik Willis, David Mulugeta, who will come up multiple times today. But you have to ask yourself, what is that? And so I do think that given the shallow quarterback class that we're seeing and the immense demand at the quarterback position, Malik Willis is going to get paid well.
Yeah, and I've said this pretty much even before the season ended, that, like you said, there's way too many open spots here and not nearly enough clear solutions. That we're going to get some interesting sell jobs from teams here. Like, oh, no, trust us. This plan really makes a lot of sense. But Boone, I think that the Malik Willis sell job, like, that plan does actually make sense to me. And certainly from a fantasy standpoint, we know a guy that can run like that, we care a lot where he ends up.
Well, Jory mentioned, like, we saw it in action, right? We've seen him produce, whether it was 2 years ago when he got those starts early in the season, or last year at the end of the year in week 17. And the rushing ability is there. He's going to have a chance if he gets a starting job, which he's going to get. He's going to have a shot to be a low-end QB1, at least in fantasy, right? We've seen this happen several times. I love that you brought up Baker and those guys. Like, we've seen this happen so much lately, where these guys have taken a few years and then gotten their opportunity and had success doing it. And for Malik Willis, I think he himself is intriguing for fantasy. My biggest concern, though, is wherever he goes, I'm worried about the skill position players there, because you talk about the success that he had, but you look at the pass attempts, 21 in that week 17 game. You go back to those starts in 2024, 19 in one of the games, 14 in the other, right? So if a team decides to bring him in and they do try to throw more, I don't know that that's going to work out very well. So I'm worried about the skill position talent wherever he ends up. I think that's going to be the big problem for fantasy.
I think you're kind of hoping that he increases the efficiency of the passing game, but he's certainly not going to increase the volume of the passing game wherever he ends up going, because that's sort of the trade-off there, right? Is that if you do have that mobile quarterback and it is popping, I mean, he's a guy that is willing to take shots downfield. Like, we saw that with the Packers throwing it downfield to Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson in some of those games. So again, that's kind of the trade-off you're hoping to make, but certainly from a projection standpoint, they're going to run an offense that is not very high volume through the air. So let's kick some theories around here. Like, do either one of you guys, and I'll throw it to either one of you here, have a landing spot that you think might be A, realistic, and B, you also would want to see?
Yeah, I mean, going back a couple months, it was Miami, especially once they became kind of the Packers South. They got Jeff Halfley in at coach. They've got John Eric Sullivan at their general manager. It's kind of like, oh, well, these guys are familiar with Malik Willis. They understand what he was doing, developing not only when he was playing. But now you also have Matt LaFleur, the Packers head coach's brother, Mike LaFleur, in Arizona, which I think complicates it. And those are both teams. I know we're going to talk about Kyler and Tua. But those are both teams who, once you bench your quarterback, it's really hard to go back. I get with other positions, but we saw this with Derek Carr several years back with the Raiders. Like, I get that there are cap implications, but I don't know how, especially in Arizona with the same general manager, you now say, well, let's come back. So I would feel like there should be some sort of bidding war between those two teams in terms of where I want to go. But also, if you've got the cap hits of the quarterbacks currently there and currently on the roster, how do you make that work? I personally like Miami better as a fit. I think that Arizona, it's a little bit too much of like, oh, the siblings, we can make that work. But I don't know. We'll see. What do you think, Boone?
The Arizona thing is interesting, and not to hammer the point too much here, but I mean, you talked to Trey McBride during the Super Bowl, Harmon, and what did he say? Like, he had huge stats. One of the reasons is because the team wasn't very good. Jacoby Brissett was throwing the ball like crazy.
Dropping back like 40, 50 times a game. That is not happening
exactly
with Malik Willis.
So that would be a big-time concern fantasy-wise, not just for McBride, but for all the pass catchers in Arizona.
Yeah, like, those guys are already facing volume-based regression that's going to happen. I mean, I think Michael Wilson led the NFL in routes last year, which that's not going to happen if Malik Willis is the quarterback. But that being said, I do like the idea of them potentially adding him. Now, can they afford it? Like, same thing with the Dolphins, right? Like, if you're cutting Tua this year, and I don't know if you've heard anything on this, like, there are at least some theories they might take all that dead cap in 1 year, which is $99 million. Like, can you then turn around and afford to get in the Malik Willis bidding war? I'm not 100% sure about that, but Arizona potentially faces the same thing too if they have to cut Kyler Murray. I'm not 100% sure what the dead cap figure is there, but can they afford it? That's a question. But not only is the Mike LaFleur connection there, but Monty Ossenfort was in the Titans front office when they drafted Malik Willis in the third round, and that's usually how these things end up coming to pass.
No, it is. But also, he was in the Titans front office after it didn't work out with him in Tennessee. And so I completely agree that you got to connect the dots for free agency. That's the case for coaching hires at the trade deadline. I mean, again, it was like Cowboys wanted Quinnen Williams. Well, they had his defensive line coach from the Jets in the building. But I still, I don't know. I think that somewhere like Miami, where you have a Devon Achane, you have some of that those pieces to work with, I think would be a bigger, better fit. But when I look at these cap hits and taking it, it's like the Denver Broncos took $85 million in dead cap to not have Russell Wilson in the building anymore. But they drafted a rookie quarterback and thus got that market inefficiency of the rookie quarterback. Neither of these two teams are going to be able to do that. The only thing that might work is if you're in Arizona and you can convince someone that Kyler is so athletic that they should give it a chance. And maybe they don't have to like give away picks, but they do have to take the salary because they've got cap space.
Yeah, I think that's possible, but Kyler's a tough one to like fit elsewhere too. I kind of like him in Pittsburgh. That's been one that I've been thinking about, and maybe they would make sense as a potential trade target. I think he just kind of fits Mike McCarthy's more like spread out offense from a West Coast standpoint. It's a lot of like slant flat routes, not a lot of stuff over the intermediate middle of the field, which is kind of where Kyler Murray doesn't like to pick his shots there. So we'll see about that. But let's talk about the two other quarterbacks who are available in free agency. We got Aaron Rodgers. We got Daniel Jones. Jory, do you got anything concrete that you're hearing on those two guys?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. So Pittsburgh Steelers general manager Omar Khan did talk today, and he said, and I quote, "The door's open to have Aaron back." And he said, "He knows how we feel." He said he does not expect it to drag out to the same degree that it did last year when Aaron wasn't joining the team until minicamp in June. And he kind
of
said,
"Let's hope not."
That General Manager Omar Khan has talked to Aaron. Mike McCarthy, who of course spent quite a few years in Green Bay with Aaron, has talked to him. Here's my thing, though. I get that Omar Khan, by all accounts, is like, we want him. It's up to him. We are on board. He also, a few years ago, at this same combine, in the same conference room, the same room of the convention hall, said, we have full faith in Kenny Pickett, who did not play for them anymore. So I went into today thinking that whatever Omar Khan said, and I like Omar. This is not about him. This is his job. Sure. I get it. But it's lying season, and that's what these guys have to say. And so the same way that, look, I do think that Mike Tomlin chose to step down. But if Mike Tomlin didn't have that choice, or if there were other factors, I think they would have still said he chose it, because that's how the Steelers operate. So if Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back, like, I think that regardless, Steelers are going to be like, well, we like him. We wanted him. It just, he chose not all that. And so that's where I kind of get into these semantics of, if you just listen to him and the simple face value, you would feel like, yes, Aaron Rodgers has a space if he wants it. I don't think it's that simple.
And from a fantasy standpoint, I mean, Rodgers is well past his prime. And I was laughing when you started mentioning the McCarthy-Rodgers type thing. We've seen the show before. It was a long time. Are we talking
eight years ago?
It was a long time ago. And it didn't end well then.
Yeah, it didn't end well.
It did not end well then. So I'm very worried about what could happen if he does go back to Pittsburgh.
I mean, who are you worried about, though? Like, from a fantasy standpoint? I'll tell you what. They draft, like, a rookie in the first round. It's Aaron Rodgers. You know, a quarterback again, immediate downgrade to whoever that rookie ends up being. Because that is just like, I just can't get my fire lit for Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy redux in the year 2028, especially because it's an offense that, like I said, it's not my favorite. It is pretty static. It's pretty traditional, old school, West Coast stuff. I mean, Jory, you know this, when they were rebranding in Dallas, there was like, oh, it's the Texas Coast.
Yeah.
Bro, you're just running the West
also,
Coast
Texas
offense.
Texas is not on a coast.
No, it's not. It's on the Gulf Coast.
Yeah,
you know.
I think that coasts more east-west in this country.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you on that. We'll save the coastal breakdown for the after the break segment here. But Boone, anything from like Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers, I can think with Rodgers, we can say he's either Pittsburgh or retirement. That's it. With Daniel Jones,
you don't think Minnesota has any chance?
I think he would be intrigued by that.
Yeah, I think he would.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. No, that's fair. Let's pull on that thread a little bit, because with Minnesota,
a lot more weapons than I see in Pittsburgh.
A lot more weapons.
Great coaching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a lot out of most of his quarterbacks. Not J.J. McCarthy, but most of the other ones have done well under Kevin
O'Connell. The flirtation was definitely there last year. Jory, what do you think from Minnesota's perspective, like, how high are they looking to go here? Like, are they just done with McCarthy,
right?
or is it more of a, hey, we bring in a veteran, and they kind of do what, ironically, what the Jets did when they traded for Aaron Rodgers, was they still kind of tried to hang on to Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, he'll be our guy, like, after Rodgers retires. And five plays in, obviously, that didn't end so well.
Right, and I think you put such a good comp there, because the same way it didn't work for Zach Wilson, I would struggle to see how it works for J.J. McCarthy, even if it seems like he could use a little bit more time. It's just so hard once a guy starts, and especially with the injury history he's got. Because, again, even this season when he was playing and he wasn't missing the whole year, he did miss games for a series of injuries, and so you have to ask yourself that question. I think he would benefit to learn from Aaron Rodgers, but in terms of his standing with the team, I find that difficult. I just think that quarterback position and the role of leadership, the same way we talked about with Kyler and Tua and the challenge of coming back, I think it would be hard to bring a guy in when you've already had your guy out there and then come back to it. But we also have to keep in mind that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is no longer their general manager, and so there is a different situation regarding the decision making. I do think that Kevin O'Connell already had a huge say in that, and now he's got an even bigger say. They're not going to fill the general manager position until at least after the draft. And so for the next few months, like during this time when it would be, hey, maybe get Aaron Rodgers, this is up to Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
I will say one more thing about Rodgers and guys who have like big names when it comes to free agency, but might be past their prime. You're going to get a lot of headlines on these guys. Fantasy managers, especially casual ones, are going to see those names. I think sometimes that inflates their value a little bit. I don't know if it will for Rodgers, because we've seen him kind of not produce that much over the last couple of years, but I think it's just a good reminder this time of year when it comes to free agency. Some of these older guys, you'll see the headlines, you'll see the name. Don't let that impact how you value these players. They're not in the headlines because they're necessarily going to be great for fantasy. They're in the headlines because they might be changing teams or because there might be news on them.
I am curious, though, because, okay, clearly Rodgers doesn't have the mobility he once had, but I've thought for a little while that Rodgers' arm is actually still pretty strong. I'm curious what you think about this. And it's just if he were a little more, and his mind is the top of the game right now in terms of the position. So to me, if he's realistic about that lack of mobility, adjust his game a bit because he's still got the arm, I think he could still be effective, especially if you get guys like Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. So what I'm curious is, do you guys feel that way? And also keeping in mind that, yes, it wasn't his throwing camp, but he broke multiple bones in his wrist at the end of the year. And I do think that influenced the fall off. So maybe I'm just biased because I was in Baltimore this year right after he turned, what was it, 42? And he had his best game of the season, discount double check. But do you guys still think from a throwing standpoint he's got something in the tank?
You bring that Baltimore game up, and I think I said this with Nate at one point, that even if like I've grown tired of the Rodgers experience, both frankly off and on the field, because it's just like, God, it's just not my favorite way to play quarterback at this point. I think you're leaving so much meat on the bone there. But when he has games like that where it's – and it is like 2% of what was last year. Like he has a moment like that. It does scratch like a nostalgic itch for me where I'm like, oh man, I loved watching that guy when I was younger. I just think the league has moved on from like that style of quarterbacking where again, it's spread out. It is very static. It's a lot of routes that don't attack that deep middle of the field, which is why it was such a weird fit with him and Arthur Smith. And you felt that kind of friction consistently. That being said, I think with Kevin O'Connell, he knows where to lean into those quarterbacks. At the same time, if I'm continuing to talk through the process here, like that deep middle of the field is an area where like there were reports came out from The Athletic that they cut that out of the playbook to make J.J. McCarthy comfortable, which like, okay, maybe they could do that with Rodgers, but you also felt there was a lot of meat left on that bone in that offense last year. So I think the question with Rodgers is exactly what you said, is he willing to adjust, and how many, you know, 42-year-old and all respect to Rodgers, one of the best to ever do it, like are really going to be that open to adjusting at this stage?
I think for a fantasy podcast in 2026, we spent far too much time talking about Aaron Rodgers. I do think Daniel Jones, who you mentioned a second ago, is a little more interesting, even though there's a lot of moving pieces with him right now, right? You're coming off a very serious injury, a guy who inflates his fantasy stats by rushing. Is he going to run as much coming off an Achilles tear? And then you think about if he goes back to Indy, what does that receiving core look like in Indy? We don't know that that's going to happen, right? There's some talks between them. I don't know if Jory wants to speak to that. But if he ends up back in Indy, this is not going to be necessarily the same environment that he had last year when he was the QB8 in fantasy points per game through the first 13 weeks before he got hurt.
You know, Daniel Jones was super productive last year. The challenge is that it wasn't an Achilles tear in September. It was in December. And so the timeline for coming back, and you often already hear in the league that the first year back from an Achilles, an ACL, any of these tendon tears, you really don't get that full mobility and comfort level back until your second year. And now, in some ways, I feel like this is only half of the year through. So that would be challenging. We are going to hear from Chris Ballard, their general manager, and Shane Steichen, their head coach, later today. We're recording this early afternoon in Indianapolis. They're scheduled to talk at 4:30 and 5:30 Eastern, respectively. But they have said that they want him back and he will be their starter. The question is, one, at what price point? And then two, how soon can he actually do that and be effective?
And is their plan like, hey, we'll start Riley Leonard for the first month of the season? Is their plan like, I don't think they're going back to Anthony Richardson.
No,
I think he'll
I
would agree. I think he'll be traded. So is it we start Riley Leonard for 4 weeks and then a compromised Daniel Jones comes back? I mean, I definitely don't know how great I feel about all that. And what is like a win or else season for these two decision makers here. We'll see how that plays out. And we'll talk more Colts here because we'll get to Alec Pierce later. But Jory, is there any quarterback here, whether it's like a Tanner McKee type or someone like that, that could be on the move via trade or release that maybe we're not thinking about enough yet?
I don't know that it's someone we're not thinking about, but I just want to say one more thing about Kyler Murray, which is that I talked to a top personnel executive with the team recently, and he described Kyler in such a great way, which is that Kyler is the quarterback you don't want to have, but you also don't want to face. And I thought it was a great way to do it. He was like, he is such a pain to face. And I think that that element of it and that dual threat ability, even if he's had his ups and downs in the league, will make it that someone believes that they're going to be the one to save Kyler Murray and that they're going to be the one who can make it work. So, I mean, I think this is like even more like Justin Fields on steroids from last year in terms of that dual threat. And so it'll be interesting to see who wants it. I recognize the salary implications. I also think people around the league believe that Kyler is going to have a really strong year if he gets to a new destination. Now, they're not sure 3 to 5 strong years, but they do think it's going to be like new change of scenery. Someone's not used to it or a division's not used to what he can do, and he lights it up for a year. I'm curious, do y'all agree with that?
Yeah, when you're talking about a veteran quarterback who could be, not that he's had necessarily the same downward part of his career as Baker Mayfield and those guys, but a guy that could get another shot and really blow up. But I've mentioned this stat before on the podcast with Harmon, that this year, fantasy-wise, he didn't even have a week where he was a top 15 fantasy quarterback. And now he got hurt. He didn't play a big chunk of the season. But when he was out there, that's stunning that he didn't have a single game where he was really meaningful for fantasy. I hope that he can find another destination where he can get that going again, because we've seen him be a top 10, even higher at times, fantasy quarterback. I hope he can get back there, but I have my doubts.
Do you have a landing spot that you think might be that for him?
I mean, can we throw Minnesota around again? Sure. Like, isn't that like the ideal spot for everyone, right?
Can I also say, I kind of think that ecosystem is just like a touch overrated at this point. I obviously, having Justin Jefferson is great, but Jordan Addison, he's okay. He's a solid wide. He's a good wide receiver too, I think. But he's not one of these types like the T. Higgins, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle tier. We're like, what would that look like as a number one elsewhere? You know, I think he's a good two. They're probably losing Jalen Naylor in free agency. They don't have any depth behind those guys. T.J. Hockenson is not the player that he was, and probably won't be on the roster this year. They have salary cap problems, so they're probably moving on from Aaron Jones as well. I think the offensive line was injured last year, but it definitely did not perform to the level of expectations. Like, you have Kevin O'Connell, you have Justin Jefferson. I do think there's more question marks after that than we probably give it credit for.
And I probably gave Kevin O'Connell even too much credit. This is probably where this thought stems from for you, because with the J.J. McCarthy thing last year, I put a lot
of eggs in that. That was 2025. We don't need to bring that up.
It was a bold prediction. Anyway.
Yeah, my two thoughts are, one, I'm a sucker for a good center who knows what they're doing, and Garrett Bradbury leaving for the New England Patriots. I do think that that was a big deal for Minnesota in terms of like who's calling things on the front end. I also think that Minnesota, to me, is still a great destination for a veteran quarterback. That's different for a rookie, because I think to fully maximize the Kevin O'Connell playbook and the way that he thinks about the game, being in the league already and having seen that and not having to acclimate is really helpful.
And we went over the names of even like journeyman backups that came there, whether it was Nick Mullins, whether it was Josh Dobbs, like these guys that came in and had real life success and fantasy success in that offense.
I don't know. Is this like my little contrarian take that I think it's gotten a touch overrated? We just drop any veteran quarterback in there, they'll probably outkick expectations. But Kyler, again, it's less about his fit for like all 32 teams. I just think he's a particular quarterback, and I'm not 100% sure if Minnesota is the right fit, but I also do struggle to find like where he could have that level of success that you highlighted there. But we'll see. All of this is soon to be playing out here. We are going to take our first quick break. We come back, we're going to talk through more positions that are available in free agency. We'll get into that right after this. All right, we're back here live in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. Let's talk running backs, because this is a pretty interesting group of running backs available in free agency, especially as we contrast it to what might be more of a top-heavy, potentially just one guy draft class here of incoming rookies. Free agent available running backs before franchise tags. We've got Breece Hall, we've got Kenneth Walker, we've got Travis Etienne, we've got Rico Dowdle, Kenneth Gainwell, Rashad White, and Tyler Algier. There's some other names as well, but those are the ones I think people need to know the most. But we did hear today, Jory, that Breece Hall, much to the chagrin of fantasy managers out there, is not going anywhere. And I thought this was kind of inevitable, but the Jets GM, Darren Mooji, confirmed today that even if they don't get a long-term deal done, like, they're going to slap that franchise tag on Breece Hall.
Yeah, franchise tag, transition tag. He definitely said that they have the tags available and they plan to use it. And look, I think that this is a Jets team that has traded away a lot of good pieces in recent years. And even if they haven't had the success, you need some of your foundational guys, and Breece Hall is in that boat. So I also think that when you think about the style of offense they want to play, they really value having a strong run game, and so they do believe Breece Hall is going to be that.
You said style of offense. I'm sorry. I'm just laughing about
you're
the
like,
Frank,
there is no
the Frank Reich thing. There's not a lot of style in that.
but even if you put last year together too, I do think they believe in it.
Oh, sure. I agree with you. And like I said, I thought this was inevitable because the Jets are one of like four teams that just have more cap space than they could possibly know what to do with. And that's why I think it's like, well, just slap that tag. It's like $14 million.
Right.
It's nothing in terms of the large scheme of things.
And I think to me, in some ways, style of offense is almost like the wrong way to put it, because I almost mean the way they want their offense to play to highlight their defense, which I get their defense isn't what it was a few years ago. But I do think for so long, it's if you can keep the defense somewhat fresh, the defense was going to be more the element that they had.
The key word in there, Boone, was the style that they want to play with there for the New York Jets. But I know you're upset about this, the Breece Hall thing. But what do you... What's your reaction? What are you feeling in terms of like early rankings now that we know Breece Hall? There's still a long way to go in the offseason, but Breece Hall staying with the Jets, like, what does this do in terms of your happiness meter?
Well, we're also getting further and further away from when he was a very good fantasy starter, a top 10 fantasy back, you know, RB6, I believe, in fantasy points per game in 2023. But the last couple of years, all the struggles of that offense, he just can't get there. I still think he's great. I think we were all excited and hoping that, you know, maybe KC, maybe someone else would come along and kind of save him from New York, a little escape from New York action. Doesn't seem like that's going to happen now. And I wonder ADP-wise, because he's going to stick around, because people are going to talk the way I am right now, which is kind of negatively about him, will that actually bump him down to the point where maybe he does become a little bit of a value where years pass because of the name value and we were just kind of looking for reasons to get excited about that Jets offense? I mean, I think we're going to probably do, during the course of this offseason, some damage to, you know, what could possibly be, you know, Garrett Wilson or Breece Hall or these guys that have these high ceilings, and yet I don't know that they're going to be able to get right there in this offense.
Jory, you're not nearly the level of dork that the two of us are from a fantasy standpoint. But one thing that I really believe is, like, if you can just find those one or two teams to just cross off your draft board completely, you probably find a pretty good way to profit. Tell me why this Jets team, as currently constructed, has happened to the coaching staff there and everything, like, tell me why this isn't going to be one of those teams.
Okay, well, first of all, I feel like you want me to just lie to our audience straight on camera. I think we need to like be a little honest about that. But here's what I would say.
If the answer is,
to me,
I don't.
The number one question with all of this is who is going to be the Jets quarterback? And until we know that, even for the running back, the entire offense is obviously the quarterback is relevant. And so I need to know that before I answer. Going back to the Kyler Murray question, he's one of the few people who I could say, if you put him in there, he's just going to create so much chaos that maybe they're trying to contain him so much that they can't load the box. Yeah. And then you have Breece Hall. So I would say that would be my reason to not cross it up. But that's a if then. It's not currently something we have. But the Jets need a quarterback. Their head coach should not feel good. Like, I'm not saying he's on the hot seat now, but he had a really rough first year. He's a former DB and they didn't have an interception the entire season. I'm never going to forget that.
Yeah, that is something you'll definitely take through the rest of your life. But the other thing that's a good point about Kyler. Like, even or if it's Malik Willis, like, I don't think they're getting Malik Willis. Okay, fair enough. I was just playing hypotheticals here. But someone like that, that I do think, like, elevates the run game a little bit. We've seen that where the yards per carry goes up for these guys, but also from a fantasy standpoint, the pass-catching opportunities go down as well, as we talked about earlier. I think Kyler could make some sense. If I'm Kyler, I'm really not trying to go there. Do you put any stock? We didn't mention him, actually, in the quarterback section there, Jory, but do you put any stock into, like, the Derek Carr theories? Or have you seen this out there that, you know, former quarterback coach Bill, or his former offensive coordinator, Bill Musgrave's quarterback coach, Frank Reich, several years ago when he was the Panthers head coach, he was kind of at the combine meeting with Derek Carr. Like, is there any connection there?
Yeah. What was Derek Carr's line that, like, for a team that could win, he'd want to come back? First of all,
he said win a Super Bowl. Yeah. Guy that's never won a playoff game.
Yeah. I get that everyone wants to win a Super Bowl, but there were definitely people who rolled their eyes. You saw the reports of, like, yeah, if I'm a coach, like, I too would come back to win a Super Bowl. Also, if that's what he wants, he's not getting with the New York Jets.
I would say you are correct about that.
So, no, I don't think Derek Carr will be there. Will he want to? I don't know. I will say
I play in a lot of dynasty leagues with other analysts throughout the industry, and a lot of people in these deeper dynasty leagues are picking up Derek Carr and stashing him. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen, but if you're in a really deep super flex league, why not throw him on your bench this time of year?
I think he's back this year. I would be shocked if he's not on a roster this year. All of the talk that we're saying where it's like, oh, we got to find these creative solutions, I think – trading, because you'd have to trade for him because the Saints still own his rights, I believe. Finding that, like, this is that there are too many open spots that I think teams won't at least try to make him come out of retirement. How inspiring that is, that's a whole separate question. But
I was not inspired by the way he kind of left the Saints hanging right before the draft last year.
I'm not inspired by a lot that's happened with the Derek Carr Saints era. Let's just say that. So mention the other guys on the list here, Boone. Kenneth Walker, Travis Etienne, Rico Dowdle, Kenneth Gainwell, Rashad White, Tyler Allgeier. Take one of those names and just tell me which one you, speaking of inspired, you actually do find a potential inspiring pick if they get a nice new landing spot.
Well, we haven't spoken on camera since the Super Bowl, but Kenneth Walker, my guy. You know, I feel no sense of vindication
at
all.
I just want to say that is not what Boone said in regard to Kenneth Walker last night. We'll leave that for the off-air conversation.
Yes, that is definitely true.
Why are you getting out of it? You got to be careful what you say when you're out with Harmon.
What a way to finish the season, right? Like, January and February for him, incredible. finish it off with the Super Bowl MVP. But that just shows that is the player that he can be. It took a Zach Charbonnet injury for that to occur, but he is incredibly exciting. If he ends up somewhere else, or if he ends up sticking in Seattle and Zach Charbonnet doesn't look like he's going to be back at the early part of next season, they might also be forced to kind of do the reverse of what they did this year, which was they were able to wait on Walker. They might have to start the season next year with Walker getting a lot of work, and he can do it. He can be a meaningful fantasy piece, a league winner type, if he gets the carries and the volume.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm them, I'm keeping him, because to me, like when I look at these running backs, I want to know who's not going to be crushing it week three necessarily. Obviously, that's great too, but who later on in the season when they've got that wear and tear on their body, when defenses are a little more focusing in, who's going to be able to do that? And all the more so when you lost Zach Charbonnet to have that Super Bowl MVP. I think that the Seahawks are constructed to not pay their quarterback top of the market. Yes, $30 million fine, $33 million, but they're not paying $50, $60 million. And so I think you keep him. To me, it was interesting hearing Dan Morgan, the Carolina Panthers general manager, talk today, and he said that this is a deep free agent running back class, and they're keeping that in mind when they consider Rico Dowdle, who, yeah, he's had a couple of 1,000-yard seasons, and I like Rico, but he didn't have the strong end of year. Like towards the middle of the season, I'm like, oh, has this guy really found his footing? And so when I look at his trend over the late season compared to Kenneth Walker's, I'm like, you keep Kenneth Walker if you're there. And running backs just don't cost that much. Like, this is a great market inefficiency that the Eagles saw that with Saquon. And even Saquon getting his new deal after the Super Bowl, it was $20 million in new money, not $20 million over the life of the rest of the contract. So,
well, that's why I was kind of surprised that they didn't. Because they said they're not going to franchise tag him, the Seattle Seahawks, with Kenneth Walker. So I was kind of surprised by that. I thought it was just easy, 14 mil, whatever. But apparently he does want to stay there. John Schneider, the GM, joked during the Super Bowl parade, like, oh, yeah, he's trying to like negotiate with me 5 minutes ago or whatever. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, Rico Dowdle, an interesting name to bring up as well. 2,000-yard seasons back-to-back doesn't really feel like that. His market probably won't really feel like that. But definitely an interesting name deeper down the ranks there.
I think running backs specifically is a position where the landing spot is just so important.
Of course.
We know that, right?
Yeah.
And I think Kenneth Walker is the type of back where he could go to a situation and maybe elevate it a little bit. When I look at these other guys like Travis Etienne or Rico Dowdle, for example, I think we're really going to have to pay attention to the landing spot with those guys. I think they need that really strong environment if we're going to rely on them as fantasy pieces. They can do it. They've had those ceiling games and those ceiling stretches, but I think the landing spot for those guys is going to be even more important than somebody like Kenneth Walker.
And I would lean toward Rico Dowdle not going back to the Panthers unless he's willing to take a pretty strong discount, because the way they were talking about him today, Dan Morgan was like, well, maybe he'll come back and we'll keep the door open, but it's a deep class. He's earned the right to test his market. Like, it was definitely not this wholehearted or even really partially hearted endorsement. He wasn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
I mean, earn the right to test free agency. Yeah. It's usually like he ain't coming back.
Okay, but on that note, it was funny. Brad Holmes, the Detroit Lions general manager today, he was like, you know, everyone says, are you going to retain them? He's like, when I hear retain, I hear pay. And so it's not like, oh, you're just going to keep them along for the ride. It's like, no, are you going to give them something? We also do have to remember, though, the salary cap is going to be over $300 million. And so in terms of what these guys can make, I get it, still running back, but I do think we saw a resurgence of the running back in different ways this past season. So some guys, and probably Kenneth Walker being that guy, should get that money.
That's what makes me think like he's not coming back to Seattle, is if they aren't going to franchise tag him, Kenneth Walker, and he does get to the open market. Like I said, there are teams out there that just have an obnoxious amount of cap space to throw around there. Some of them don't necessarily have needs at running backs, like the Raiders. Obviously, they took Genty High last year. They're up there.
I mean, but that's like, obviously interesting with Clint Kubiak coming from Seattle.
That's oh my God, what a mess that would be. God, Jory, that was high-key agent of chaos type suggestion right there. But like the Chargers, again, another team that have a ton of cap space. They'd have first-round running back from last year. But like the Titans are up there with cap space. Like, could they make Kenneth Walker some outrageous offer? I think that is possible, because like I said, there's just more money to throw around than these teams possibly could know what to do with. One team that doesn't have a ton of cap space, but it has already been connected to a guy like Travis Etienne, is Kansas City. There's been some reports that there's a mutual interest there. I think there's already been some Instagram following. You know, it's that season. Like, it is David Mulugeta season. It's also who's following who on Instagram season. Travis Etienne, Kansas City Chiefs. How do you feel about that one, Boo?
Yeah, that's one of those landing spots where it'll be fantastic. And I'm paying close attention to the Chiefs right now, because I think we might get a bit of a discount in fantasy with the Mahomes injury next year. I think the start of the year for them might not be the regular Chiefs that we've seen in terms of fantasy production in years past. But as the year goes along, I think they're going to get back to being themselves. And like you mentioned earlier, you want those running backs later in the year when they're performing. Don't worry as much about the opening month. And I think the Chiefs would be a fantastic landing spot for any of these guys.
So I want to ask you, though, Boone, Travis Kelce coming back or not coming back, how much does that influence your fantasy perspective on the rest of that team?
I mean, not that much. Like, Kelce's still a valuable starter, a low-end tight end one. We saw this year he can still get it done. I think it'll be telling. If he doesn't come back, that makes me a little more worried about them, because that tells me, okay, maybe Mahomes is going to be out longer, right? Like, those sort of, maybe they aren't going to be true contenders this season. That would be the tip to me. But it certainly seems, doesn't it, like he's probably going to come back?
Yeah, I think he'll be back. That's my expectation. They're picking in the top 10 this year, which is extremely unusual for them. And selfishly, like, I see receiver prospects up there that they should be 100% dialed in on. I mean, a guy like Carnell Tate, who's an actual real wide receiver, not like some of the Mickey Mouse bros they've been running out there in that receiver core the last few years. There is definitely real potential for them to remake this offense. If it is an ETN at running back, who I think fits the system, outside zone, a lot of stuff that makes sense for him, screens. He's a good pass catcher out of the backfield. That was something that Liam Cohen really liked about him last year. This could, I mean, we're getting several steps ahead of ourselves here, but we could certainly be opening training camp like this. Obviously, Mahomes' injury is something to watch, but a Chiefs offense that looks a lot more buttoned up and professional than it has the last few years.
I don't know if it'll happen, but you mentioned off the top of this segment that there's really one prize rookie running back coming in and Jeremiah Love. A lot of people are mocking him to the Chiefs in that spot. And
see, that ain't it though. So some of these teams, remember, like the Falcons said this when they picked Michael Penix, like, oh, we'll never be picking this high again. Okay. Yeah. Well, you won't be picking in the first round the following year because you're going to trade that pick. So there is that hold that, though they took two edge rushers last year. Whatever. The Falcons are the Falcons. They're a team that can't sell that kind of nonsense. The Chiefs can actually say that. Like, we're never going to be picking this high again. And I'm not the most hardcore, like, don't take a running back in the top 10 guy in the world, but this is the only time you'll be able to have like a shot at a premium position in the top 10. I think that would be a little bit of a waste. Not that it would be bad for Jeremiah Love. Of course it'd be great, but I don't know. That's just my thoughts.
Can
on
we
that.
Just rewind back to the Mickey Mouse Bros and get a define the terms moment there?
I think you are the only human being a part of the show that does not know what I mean, because
yes,
I say this so often.
I was
going
to say, clearly not listening.
Well, that's fine. I don't blame you. I wouldn't listen to this show either.
For our new listeners.
Oh, see, that is professional. Thank God Jory's here to class this joint up. No, Mickey Mouse receivers, it's a lot of the screens, creative touches type stuff, as opposed to running real big boy routes down the field. And they do not have a single receiver on that roster.
Mickey Mouse just catching strays.
Yeah, no, I mean, Mickey Mouse is obviously
fun. You've never seen him run around?
You want to? That's what I'm going to say to you. You ever seen Mickey Mouse beat press coverage? I've
never seen him lose it.
0% success rate versus press coverage for Mickey Mouse there. He does not have the build, the size to line up on the line of scrimmage and run a real deal route. And guess who doesn't either? The Chiefs wide receivers.
I look forward to seeing the Mickey Mouse reception perception chart.
So, yeah, let's get I'll be ready out. For yeah. it.
That's when you know we've really jumped the shark when we get a Mickey Mouse route chart. Any other stray thoughts on this free agent class? It's like I said, an interesting group of guys. A Tyler Allgeier take, a Kenneth Gainwell, Steelers MVP. Any excitement there?
I mean,
no, the answer is
pretty
no.
much silence there. I think Tyler Allgeier will probably get a shot, and it wasn't that long ago that he was, you know, running for 1,000 yards. He can be kind of a sustaining back in an offense. I just don't know that a team is going to trust him to be the guy. I think he's always going to be playing with someone else, which is going to lower his fantasy ceiling. It just makes him a little less exciting than those names we already mentioned.
Yeah, I just want to think back to like Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, some of these guys who had those franchise tags. I do feel like for some reason the running back market is very interwoven and like everyone is so dependent on. So the fact that there are, okay, maybe we've got Kenneth Walker and then a whole group of them under, I do think that impacts everyone's value.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I will say Tyler Allgeier, just because you brought up like probably never a main back, but I really like his game. I think he's legit good, and he could be a starting back, maybe in a pinch, but I think he could be a starting back. Two potential connect dots situations there for him. Former run game coordinator, offensive line coach Dwayne Ledford, now with the Baltimore Ravens. Could he be like a compliment to Derrick Henry as Derrick Henry gets older? And I think maybe wouldn't mind a little bit less tread on the tires as he continues to dominate into his 30s. Also, obviously, former offensive coordinator Zach Robinson is now the offensive coordinator in Tampa Bay. Bucky Irving coming off like a very weird year. Zach Robinson did say, hey, we're excited about this guy. We could use him in the passing game like Bijan Robinson. They're probably going to lose Rashad White to free agency, was their pass down back. We'll see. That's just one that I would throw out there as a potential connection.
I don't know if he'll get the opportunity, but it seems like one of the reasons, like with him leaving the Falcons, he does want that starting opportunity. I think he is going to try to seek that out. I hope he gets it because I would love to see yet another back in the mix for fantasy. I just don't know that it's going
to
happen.
And we'd all love to see Bijan Robinson completely unlocked at the goal line as well. I think everybody would be pretty happy about that. All right, we are going to take one more quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk through wide receivers, pass catchers available this offseason. We'll get into that right after this. All right, we're back, and it's time to talk through pass catchers available in free agency. We've got wide receivers. We've got tight ends. Wide receivers available in free agency, like kind of two different crops to talk through here. Number one, it's like the real wide receivers available in free agency, which this list is going to get smaller, especially with the first name that we have here, George Pickens. The Cowboys already said they're going to tag him. Alec Pierce potentially making it to the open market, although I do wonder if the Colts franchise tag him. Rashid Shaheed, Wandale Robinson, Romeo Doubs. The reason I say those guys are like real wide receivers, not in the sense of like not a Mickey Mouse wide receiver. It's more just like these guys are kind of in the primes of their careers, whereas we have the vet wide receivers, the Juwan Jennings, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, Deebo Samuel, Christian Kirk, Jory's favorite player, Keenan Allen. And then there's a bunch of trade targets too. DJ Moore, AJ Brown. The Eagles did kind of a little bit mixed message from Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman. I'm sure you noticed that, Jory. Brandon Ayuk, and probably not Justin Jefferson, but the producers made me put that on the graphics so that we can get that thing tweeted out. All right. That's a lot of names there. But let's start with the real wide receivers available in free agency. Jory, of course, I'm sure you've got a lot of notes on George Pickens, who is going to be tagged by the Cowboys. Will he stay with the Cowboys?
Yeah, so the Cowboys, specifically Executive Vice President Stephen Jones, did say on Monday from the Combine that they are leaning towards tagging George Pickens, and of course they'll have to get that done very soon. The tag is a placeholder. We know that. Yes, it can be something that continues, but really in July, it's like you're playing on the tag. In March, it's, hey, now we have your rights and we'll decide whether we negotiate it. To me, what's interesting about George Pickens is I would feel totally different about the Cowboys negotiations with George Pickens 1 year ago, because I watched with Dak, with Zeke, with CeeDee, all of these players for the Cowboys who would kind of take this out. Some of them would have holdouts, but they always got the money at the end. The Micah Parsons trade totally should change our perspective on the likelihood of George Pickens. I'm not saying he won't be back with the Cowboys. I think he will, and I actually think the tag is the best option for him because this is a guy who has off-field question marks. He didn't fit well in Pittsburgh toward the end, and it's been 1 year in Dallas and not a perfect year, even though he was definitely super efficient and effective on the field, we know. And so I think that that's actually a good use for it. But I think that if I were George Pickens and I'm saying I'm not playing on the tag, I would have more pause with that now after the Cowboys said, okay, Micah, you don't want to do what we do? Great, go to Green Bay. Yeah, same agent. And this is because also not every team wants George Pickens. I get that the talent is there. I understand the fantasy implications. But there are teams who took him off their board, or at least top of their board, sure, in the draft process, yeah, and he has not disproven some of those theories in the league.
I've been a huge George Pickens fan since he arrived on the NFL scene. I love that volatile personality that he has. And yet, I keep coming back to the idea. We don't want to go too far talking about like narratives. If he's on the franchise tag, I don't know that that ends well, right? Like with the personality that he has, and we saw, you mentioned it last year, there were times where there's effort concerns. Like he just is that kind of player. And if he doesn't get that long-term contract that he deserves, let's face it, he had a great year. He does deserve a long-term deal. He should get it. If he's on that franchise tag, I think it could go downhill after what was a phenomenal season, even though he tailed off a little bit at the end. But I mean, let's face it, the Cowboys tailed off a little bit at the end. I was off for a few weeks. I got to get a dig in there to producer Colin, right? We got to get one Cowboy shot in there. But yeah, let's hope that Pickens can be happy and have another great year, because what we saw last year is a guy that can be like that T. Higgins type player, that, you know, second wide receiver one for fantasy. Absolutely. On the same team.
And you're right. Not every team is going to want to marry George Pickens. You know, some players, it's like you hear this, like, this guy you want to date, not marry, right? Like there's definitely some teams you don't want to do that with necessarily. But Dallas, I do feel like, is one of those teams where he can stick long term and it can work. And one of the biggest reasons why is like I've heard some people say, like, oh, maybe CeeDee Lamb like wasn't happy with him. Like I talked to CeeDee at the Super Bowl and he loved having George Pickens there, and he was super supportive of him and everything. And like he wants him back, like he wants him back long term. That dynamic, I think, is really important. Like when you have a established paid wide receiver one that he's cool with the other guy being there. And they really unlock a lot in each other too, because George is like, you just stick him out at X receiver. He took the fewest snaps in the slot percentage wise among relevant starting wide receivers last year. And just like, that's a pretty unique role to be able to do that. And then move CeeDee Lamb around. I think it just makes all the sense in the world from a football perspective. And I think from a personality perspective too, like, this is a team that can handle that, is okay with the headlines, is okay with the attention, as we know. So I'm certainly, as a George Pickens supporter, like, wanting him to stay here. I don't think the grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah, I think from a CeeDee Lamb standpoint on the field, I agree. Like, CeeDee and George and the targets they share, I think that actually works really well. They do play off each other. And I also think having quarterback Dak Prescott there does allow you to take a little bit more of a risk, because an established leader at quarterback. They didn't have that in Pittsburgh when he was in Pittsburgh, and Dak knows how to manage all the personalities and kind of push the right buttons for each person. That said, okay, we're talking about George making way less than CeeDee, and CeeDee getting the $34 million. If George makes more than CeeDee, does CeeDee feel the same? I think that, or even if he makes $30 million a year and CeeDee's making $34 million, I think what I would want to know is, when George Pickens missed curfew in Vegas and he was held out a series and a half kind of for that, CeeDee Lamb missed it with him. And CeeDee didn't have those issues previously. So my concern is not, like, is George going to be volatile? Is he going to bring CeeDee down with him?
Look,
missing curfew in Vegas, it's not the worst thing someone can do.
Right.
I'm not saying that that is the be-all, end-all. But if he brings other guys with him, that to me is the bigger concern than whether he's always at meetings on time.
I think what the conclusion there is that this is not the end of the story. Like, we'll continue to monitor this one through the course of the offseason. Alec Pierce is another guy that I think could potentially be franchise tagged. But, man, he's another one that, like, again, I don't know if the grass is greener on the other side. Like, he's a guy that I think if he gets to free agency, we're going to talk about him making like $30 million a year. And I just don't, number one, think he's a $30 million wide receiver. I think he's a really good player in his specific role. And I think for a player like that, I don't want to see him go elsewhere. That's no shade to Alec Pierce. I like Alec Pierce. I've been on record as an Alec Pierce fan. But again, it's managing expectations. And if he goes to another team, again, it's one of these teams like Tennessee that has just more cap space than they could possibly know what to do with. And it's Brian Daboll, and it's a pretty different style of offense than what Shane Steichen ran last year. I would just actually get nervous, Boone, about, like, okay, you know, people are going to say, it's follow the money. They paid him like a one. They're going to throw to him like a number one. And he's a good player, but maybe not a player of that skill set to handle that level of volume.
Yeah, I totally agree. A very good real-life player. A guy that I didn't give enough credit to. We were talking about him last night, that I think because of my A.D. Mitchell love, I kind of just kept pushing Pierce to the side, going, get out of the way. Let Mitchell get his opportunity. And we saw last year, Pierce had a fantastic season. But I totally agree. I don't think he profiles as a number one, and he's about to get paid as a number one.
So, but I want to know, if we don't know about Daniel Jones' health, if you're Alec Pierce, does that influence your decision?
I think it might. Here's the deal. Like, if he gets to the open market, he's going to take the biggest deal. I think that, and maybe that comes from Indianapolis. Maybe it doesn't. That's the thing there, because I think you'd be willing to walk into the unknown of, like, Cam Ward, and you never played with him, and is he good? Obviously, taking first overall last year, I think he had a lot of flashes. You know, people who watch him closely on tape, like Nate Tice, think he's got all that potential still in him, but he's an unknown, I think, is what you'd have to say. You're going to take the money and run with it there. That would be my opinion. Other free agent wide receivers, any other guys stand out to you in the real group, Boone, that you're interested in seeing where they go, whether Rashid Shaheed, Wandell Robinson, Romeo Doubs?
I like Wandell Robinson, and I know you've referred to him as, you know, the PPR scam, lovingly or maybe not so lovingly over the years.
It's not lovingly. By the way, another guy that previous to this year, 100% a Mickey Mouse receiver, like 4.7 air yards per target.
I'm really getting a great understanding of, like, language of origin, use it in a sentence,
examples. We'll have a full breakdown on this later. Don't worry about it.
But Robinson last year, wide receiver 21 in fantasy points per game. And I know there was still an element of the PPR scam going on where it was, you know, 92 receptions.
He grew his game, though.
Yeah, just over 1,000 yards. So those numbers, you know, efficient, but not the biggest when you're catching that many passes. And still, though, last year, he did show us a little something more, some more downfield shots. He had 3 games over 100 yards. I think he's a guy that if he gets in the right environment, he leaves there. I'm kind of interested in what he could potentially be somewhere else.
I've sent a lot of team players to the Titans here so far, but again, they're another.
I mean, he makes a lot of sense.
Quarterbacks go to the Vikings.
He makes a lot of sense.
Pretty much. Well, listen, they need him. I watched those receivers last year. Not a lot of great stuff going on. I'm not saying he's necessarily the perfect type of what they need, but form connection with Brian Daboll, like it is a he'll give him a reliable like downfield presence because he played more outside and actually, like I said, not Mickey Mouse routes last year for Wandale Robinson. So certainly that would be a spot that could potentially make a lot of sense.
And we're not talking about him as like a league winning type player, but a value, a guy that could be a value, could be a solid wide receiver three in your fantasy lineup, something like that.
When we talk about the receivers, Jory, who are potentially available on the trade market, I mentioned DJ Moore, I mentioned AJ Brown and Brandon Ayuk. I don't know if he will be traded or released, but he's definitely not on the Niners next year. He's probably going to be on the Washington Commanders, let's be real. Any of those guys stand out as potential, like, okay, I definitely see this happening?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, I'm not sure Brandon Ayuk is going to play this year.
I am not sure either.
I hope he can. I hope for his sake he can, but I think there are real mental health conversations to be had, and I think that I don't think this is just like, he got mad at the Niners and that was it. There's some serious stuff going on there, and so you got to see if he's playing at all, and that to me is a question before it's where he's going to play. And also, if he is going to play, as I think we've seen across the league, you need to have resources in place, and we saw that with Rondale Moore and his loss this week. It's just there's a lot that these guys are battling, particularly when they're rehabbing from injury. AJ Brown's a funny one because Philly is funny, and yet they kind of have, you got like Howie Roseman, their general manager, Nick Sirianni, head coach, and it's like, oh, we're not going to guarantee he's coming back, but also you don't want to let good players go, because how do you win if it's hard to find good players? And if you have a good player and we think AJ wants to be here, I think they figure it out. I think it's always going to be volatile, but I'm not sure. I actually think that AJ would probably have a better year somewhere else. I love the connection of him going back to the Mike Vrabel world and going to New England. Sure. I don't know that they're going to go after him, but I think you're going to have to give Howie Roseman a lot of money to convince him of that, because I don't think that AJ is necessarily the problem, even if he's spoken up about the problems. And so I think it's hard. Also, AJ still has like some the degenerative knee condition. Like he's not a purely clean prospect physically, even though he's very effective. And I think that he has benefited from having Devonta Smith on the field.
As somebody who effectively did change teams last year myself in the summer, I will say I would like to see DJ Moore and AJ Brown both go somewhere else. I think they need that. They need a little bit of a fresh start. You have that new feeling where you're trying to prove yourself to everybody around you. I will say I came in, I had to show Harmon what I had, right? I think those guys kind of need
that.
I was going to say, did you?
Yeah, you did great.
He's not calling me Mickey Mouse. So yeah,
right. Not a Mickey Mouse fantasy analyst. You had the DJ Moore 2023 season when you went to the Bears and had 1,300 yards his first season there. We'll see if you can continue to up that pace. DJ did not, so we'll see.
But we've seen recently, last year, these guys still do have something left in the tank. And I think if you get them in a new environment, that would be the thing that could light the fire under them and get the most out of them here in the next year or two.
Yeah, with DJ Moore, I think also that it's not that valuable to be a great receiver in Chicago. Maybe that sounds like silly, but I just think the way they use their tight ends, the way they use their running game, like no one had over 750 yards last year, and even the only one to get over 700 receiving yards was Colston Lovell. Yeah.
They were all literally the three of them. They're like
700.
They're right stuck. If you sort wide receivers by yards, the three of them, Adunze, DJ Moore, Luther Burden, are right in order league wide. Now, obviously, Adunze was hurt. He missed time, but at the same time, yeah, I do think it's going to always be that way. And you're paying DJ $28 million. He's the highest paid player on the team. Like, that just doesn't make any sense. I'd be shocked if he's back. He's the one that, between him and AJ Brown, AJ, I could kind of go either way. DJ, I do think, will be on the move. I've thrown out Buffalo as a potential landing spot because he played with Joe Brady in Carolina, knows the offense, talked with him about that actually at Super Bowl, so people can go find that interview there. Let's talk tight ends here before we get out. We've got Kyle Pitts. We've got Dallas Goedert, we've got Isaiah Likely, we've got Kate Otten. Kyle Pitts, though, franchise tagged by the Atlanta Falcons. That was announced earlier this week, Jory.
Yeah, and I really am excited about what Kevin Stefanski can do with him. I just want to see like a new coaching staff, a new playbook, how he's going to function, because he was really productive last year, that 928.5 touchdowns. And I mean, they're smart to keep him there, and the tight end tag is not so expensive.
You rattled most of the names off there. David Njoku's another one. Like, it is a shockingly deep free agent tight end class this year. I'm pretty excited. These are all names that have been fantasy starters over the last couple of years at different times, that if they get in the right spot, we're going to be drafting them fairly high, and we're going to be starting them again this year. So it's a one we're going to have to watch for landing spots, though, before we can get too excited about these guys. But everyone you just mentioned has a shot to be a fantasy value this year and to be in our lineups.
Yeah, even David Njoku, I wonder if he actually goes to Atlanta. You know, former coach is there, and they want to run a lot of 12 personnel, even if they are retaining Kyle Pitts. He's more in that, you know, I always think this is stupid, like the Harold Fannin role. Like, that's not what he's going to do in the offense, but he is of that same ilk as a tight end and more of a movement player. I do wonder, just really quickly, like, let's say that happens. They get David Njoku. Kyle Pitts is this move-around tight end type. Drake London's role, what does that look like in the offense? They also have like zero receiver depth after him. So Atlanta's just a bizarre team. We also don't know what they're doing at quarterback, other than they've told us for the third like month in a row, like, we're releasing Kirk Cousins. We know you're releasing Kirk Cousins. So it will be interesting to track that entire Atlanta Falcons situation. Jory, Boone, hell of a show. See, I knew this was going to be good. I love a random pairing in person, and you guys' first show together. I think you both did well. I'm looking forward to a great rest of the week with both of you guys.
Do we think he did well?
Well, he did all right. I was passable.
It wasn't total Mickey Mouse hosting, but it was not very. Honestly, Mickey Mouse would host a great podcast.
We'll see if we can get him. Maybe he's walking around here.
I mean, everybody's walking around here. We could certainly get Mickey. I'm sure Jory knows his agent, so you probably got that somewhere.
I know Mickey. Why do you think I'm defending his ability to run routes?
Wow.
All right, and on that note,
we are definitely ending the show, because we got to get Mickey Mouse on the show later this week, because Jory knows him. All right, that is going to do it for today's show. We will be back on Thursday, though. We're going to be live once again here. Boone will be back. Jory will be doing much more important things. So look forward to that show live here, 2 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. Until then, we are out.